see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Going by the book. It's going.
Welcome to the Watchman for Jesus Bible study for tonight, end of the week, Friday. Welcome, this is Thomas Gamble. I'm your host for this evening. For those just joining us, welcome. Almost time for that next week, the holidays and what have you. For those that celebrate it, we'll play a couple of days next week. I will, on the broadcast Monday for sure. Wrap up the weekend, see what's coming up, and then Monday, Tuesday. Tonight, a couple things I want to talk about. Nuclear arsenal of demonic powers is fear. Fear is one of the major weapons that Satan uses against us. And the fear of losing your salvation and God's forgiveness is a major fear. That Satan uses. Fear can go all kinds of directions. All kinds of directions. Another weapon that he uses is lust. That's a powerful one. Which also can go in many directions. Lust for power, money, sex. Lust of any kind. Violence. Lust for money. See, it can go all kinds of directions. Fear. Fear of everything in the world, man. Fear of eating, fear of walking, fear across the street. Fear of the night, fear of the dark, fear of the day, I don't know. Fear can go all kinds of directions. But one of them is the fear of losing your salvation. That means you're always afraid, so it means you're not very secure in it. That's not the Holy Spirit talking. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast. And let's get started and talk about the arsenal that Satan uses against us. And that's being used today predominant. Fear of a meteorite going to hit everybody, a big one. Fear of dying from radioactivity, fear of getting shot, fear of drinking water, fear of, good gosh, you name it. To keep us all off balance. Lord, thank you tonight. Lord, lift us up tonight in the Bible study this evening. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them before the cross. Father, protect us and give us the ability to speak tonight, to share in the gospel and the truth. Lord, we pray for healing tonight. We pray for healing of our family members, protection through your blood of Jesus, so, Father, they can walk in the Word. Lord, we pray for wisdom, discernment for the coming times that we see approaching. We pray for opportunities, Lord, that we can share the gospel. And Lord, we ask you to protect us from this fear caused by Satan. That you bring the scriptures to our forefront and our heart, that all things we can do through Jesus Christ our Lord. To give us that firm foundation of his holy word. Give us that calm in the storm. Because so many ways we're distracted by lust, by fear. And show us denial of self so we have more for God. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the spirit wars, fear is one of the major weapons that Satan uses. War is a big weapon he uses. Together souls cause death and destruction. But fear is a nuclear arsenal of demonic powers. You know, Nehemiah, for example. Nehemiah found that fear was a primary detractor of God's work. And it was being accomplished in the people's lives. And fear is faith in a wrong God. You see, when we put our faith in Jesus, we pretty much experience the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Love, joy, peace, having patience, having kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5:22-23 talks about this. Meekness is also included. The definition of meekness then, not the definition of meekness today. And temperance, against there is no such, there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Who shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Envyings, murderers, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions and heresies, drunkenness and revelings, such like that of all which I tell you before, as I've told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Galatians 5:19-21 is all right there. Tells you in Galatians. But what they are. Galatians 5:19. Well, what do you know? In Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness. Well, you know what's convenient? That in the NIV and many other Bibles, they simply removed the word adultery. They just plucked it right out of there. You'll find Galatians 5:19, the King James Bible, lists adultery. In the other Bibles, they took it out. Well, after all, it makes it easier to read when you remove one word, doesn't it? Isn't that the claim? Except then you kind of go to James 4:4, and you find the same thing. Ye adulterers, male, and adulteresses, females, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So what they've done, they removed the word adulterers, and it's limited to women in Alexandrian's Bible. Well, isn't that convenient? Makes you wonder, don't it? People say, well, I've studied the Bible for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and yet they can't find out this major discrepancy. Well, I like the NIV Bible. It's easier to read. Yeah, because they're taking out major words. Wow. That's significant. You know, we listen to the wrong spirit. Poisoned. Produced, begin to grow in a thorn bush of anxiety and reap us the harvest of destruction. When you start changing the words of the Bible. Fear is the most sociably accepted sin in the church. Fear is a serial killer. You know, it's also the prime suspect in the death of more people on the planet than all the diseases combined. Fear in every form has been linked to heart disease, cancer, autoimmune disorders, mental illness, all the other sicknesses. It's linked to fear. You could call fear the welcome mat to demonic activity in our lives. Create fear. You lose your faith, opens a portal up. Isaiah 54:14. This is pretty significant. That's why it's a nuclear weapon for Satan. Isaiah 54:14. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and for terror, for it shall not come near thee. When you reject fear, you live in peace. You're afraid of death in life, and you can't live in life, because you're always afraid of dying. But if you allow fear to creep in your lives, you find yourself oppressed and tormented and tortured. And God views fear in a certain way as very critical. How about King David, we'll take for example. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. Murdered her husband, Uriah. Yet God did not remove him from the throne. You'll find that story in 2 Samuel 11:1-27. On the other hand, because King Saul feared the people whom God had called him to lead, he disobeyed the Lord. And the Lord tore the kingship from him and gave it to David. You find that in 1 Samuel 15:24-26. So now, adultery and murder are terrible evils. We know this. Qualify as social ills. We'll not discount that, but what I'm trying to emphasize is how destructive the nature of fear often goes, and it goes completely unnoticed by society. Through all the while, it's quietly stealing your destiny, kills your body, and destroys cities. So what was Nehemiah's cure for his people's anxiety? For their fear. In Nehemiah 4:14, for example, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. What fear does when you have it in your system, it takes control. It kind of cuts to pieces, dismembers or disfigures your perspective of God. You start developing your own thoughts that are fearful, not based on the Holy Spirit of secureness. What it does to your perspective of God, it makes him, well, kind of look like a powerless pawn controlled by our circumstances. People today, for example, say, well, what was wrong with Cain doing his own sacrifice of what he produced? He thought that was the best thing to do, so why wouldn't that be okay? See, that was a way of perverting the gospel than what God taught. We think that our circumstances controls God, but it's not that way. When we remember the Lord, recount his works, have to reform your vision of His greatness in their hearts. And meditate how great He really is, and that you're a part of it. Then you develop confidence to seed your faith and unmask and undress the fear fantasy. Fear is a major weapon of Satan. And that's what they use today, every chance they get. Fear of the stock market crashing. Fear of chemtrails. You name it, they produce a fear of it. And fear of losing your salvation. So they give you false ideas about salvation. Good people go to heaven. Bad people go to hell. Well, no. What does Romans 3:12 say? There's none good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:12 and 3:23. The Bible tells you almost everything you need to know. You wonder how these 40 authors were so clever. Living out in the desert, no internet. No tablets either. Romans 3:12. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. So we don't know that. We know where we stand. Not one of us can get to heaven on our own merits. And one of the most important verses in the Bible, John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's clear. They tell you you must be baptized to be saved. Well, no. That is not going to do it either. Baptism is for people who are already saved. Because baptism symbolizes the believer's death to the old man, rising in the newness of life in Christ Jesus in public appearance. It's your outward show, your testimony, that to the world that you are already saved. You don't do good works to get saved. You do good works after you're saved. That includes baptism. So to baptize the sinner is a meaningless ritual. All you're doing is getting them wet. If baptism is required for salvation, how could it be that Jesus said to the repentant thief, being crucified beside him, had no chance of being baptized, that this day you'll be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. He'd told him, somebody give you some water in this guy over here. He didn't tell him that. They say that all roads lead to heaven. You heard that one before? No, they don't. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ, and you yield yourself to Him. Deny self and accept Jesus. The only way. Every other road leads to hell. What comes to my mind is a typical view of this, all roads lead to heaven, is manifested in your movie stars today and good works that people do. And what they do is what will get them out of problems. With God. And Oprah And here's a very good example of that. I mean, this is right out of the textbook. Some of you heard this before, maybe some haven't. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14:6. Clear as a bell. Some people don't believe that.
A panel has been discussing the spirituality and the forces of God, but I also believe that there are two forces that are here with us, that we do have our God that we can depend on, but there is also a power of darkness that we do need to be aware of. And that's where the choice is.
Do you believe that you can choose between one or the other?
Most absolute, definitely.
Yeah. Now, Marianne Williamson says in her book, Return to Love, that we're always walking in the direction of one or the other, that all of your actions in life, either you're moving toward the darkness or you're moving toward the light.
That's right.
She calls it fear and love. There's this wonderful book called Ishmael by Daniel Quinn, which is it's a gorilla talking, but anyway. It talks about, one of the points it brings out is one of the mistakes that human beings make is believing that there is only one way to live.
That's
and
right.
That we don't accept that there are diverse ways of being in the world, that there are millions of ways to be
then
a human being. And many ways, no, but many paths to what you call God.
That
and
is
her
crazy.
Path might be something else, and when she gets there, she might call it the light. But her loving and her kindness and her generosity brings her, if it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
And I guess the danger that could be in that, I mean, it sounds great on the onset, but if you really look at both sides, I
there couldn't possibly be just one way. What about Jesus? What about Jesus?
Only one way. There is one way and only one way, and
there
that is through Jesus.
There couldn't possibly be
with
because a million
you
of people
say
in
there
the world.
Isn't.
There couldn't possibly be.
Because you say, you intellectualize it and say there isn't. If you don't believe that, you're all buying into the lie.
But that makes you right.
Do you think, that if you are somewhere on the planet, if you're somewhere on the planet and you never hear the name of Jesus, but yet you live with a loving heart, you lived as Jesus would have had you to live, you lived for the same purpose that Jesus came to the planet to teach us all, but you are in some remote part of the earth and you never heard the name of Jesus, you cannot get to heaven, you think?
And that is covered in the scriptures, too. People
heart.
Are talked about
truly,
that.
God knows the heart.
Does God care about your heart or God care about you call his son Jesus?
Well, you know, Oprah, God, Jesus cannot come back until that gospel is preached in the four corners of this earth. So, you know, figure it out.
Okay, I can't get into a religious argument with you.
It's not religion.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven or earth given among men by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. He that has the Son has life. He that not has a son has not life. It's real simple. People try to make up their own as they go along and exactly it, intellectualize it. That all roads lead to heaven. Well, they don't. This is why a lot of the movie stars today and others do good for people. It's good they do good for people. But why are they doing it? Is this secretly their way of thinking they're going to buy their way to heaven? When Oprah gives away, you know, 50 sewing machines or something, I don't know, whatever. People do good deeds for people, that anonymous donor and all this, that, and the other. First thing that strikes to my mind is, do they really believe they're going to buy their way to heaven? Everybody likes it. It's one of those awe moments. But look behind it for real. But we can't assume that they're not. It just makes you wonder. But then you know, like Oprah, you know they're not. Because the false ideas about salvation does not come up with the Holy Spirit. Putting people in bondage of their past. Putting people in bondage because of their skin color. Their gender. We've talked about that in my broadcast this past week. But I've not touched upon one point in that regard, the race issue. Subjugation of a race over another. Slavery. There's a bigger picture even to that. It's the weapon that Satan uses of, I'm not good enough, and I don't need to be saved. I'm not good enough, and I don't need to be saved. It's a lie of the devil to get you to detour around Jesus. Romans 3, 10 to 12 tells us that there's none righteous, none that seeks after God, none good. No, not one. Isaiah 64, verse 6 tells us that our righteousness are as filthy as rags in the sight of God. So trying to present God with your righteousness for salvation is like trying to pay your taxes with Monopoly money. It's not going to work. One is, then, I'm good enough. I don't need to be saved. Another is, he can't save me. I'm not good enough. Satan's got people both ways. Which brings me to one. I'm so bad, I can't be saved. Let God decide that if that's going to be the point. It's another lie of the devil. You can't assume he's turning you over to a reprobate mind. If you're concerned about it, then he hasn't. There's a good indicator. If it worries you, that's you, yourself, speaking out because you're concerned about it. That means you don't have a reprobate mind, but your soul is seeking salvation. Hebrews 10:10, by the which will we be sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So what this does, it tells us of Jesus' sacrifice of himself on the cross was once for all. For everybody. Done one time forever, Jesus' death on the cross brought and paid for salvation for every person on earth. No matter how evil. But there is a point. They've gone too far. He'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. All they got to do is receive it by trusting Jesus, receiving him as their Lord and Savior. They'll think sometimes that now that I'm saved, I can sin all day long, no problem. I can do anything I want and get by with it. Then they make up for it by doing good deeds. Well, it don't work that way, because that means you weren't saved in the first place. If you can do things that's against the Bible and then not bother you, boy, you better start worrying. Jesus did not save us to live in sin. He even told the woman that committed adultery. He said to those getting ready to throw the stones, who is not sin, throw the first stone. He started rotting their sin in the sand. And they left. He told the woman, neither I condemn you, go. But he said, sometimes they leave this out when people tell you this. He tells her not to sin no more. They sometimes conveniently leave that part out. If you think that you're saved and can sin all day, do anything you want to do, well, I seriously doubt if you got saved in the first place. If you sin after you're saved, you lose your salvation. Oh. No. Jesus' death on the cross paid for every sin you've ever committed or will ever commit. But God will not tolerate a Christian living in sin. He can allow your life to be miserable. Let me tell you, he will let you drop low. Sometimes you have to go low as low can go to get your attention, because pride and willfulness, disobedience, stubbornness, we'll start reaping what sowing. Sometimes he'll have to break you. All he does is step away, and Satan does the breaking. He may allow your life to be very miserable. And that's if you insist on making a practice of it. If you do sin, a way out is 1 John 1, verse 9. First John 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And 1 John 1, 10. Oh, 1 John 1, 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:10. But if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. Remember, the Holy Spirit's in you. How much better to do this and turn away from sin than live in sin and get constant spankings from God? I'll tell you about that. He'll leave some sin there. He'll leave some compensity to sin, like a thorn in the side. But I know one day when 1983, I had been transferred from Paris Island to, I decided to continue on to Okinawa, Japan for a year. Now, I remember getting on that plane for a year, leaving the United States, go to Okinawa, that I'd done so much damage that to people besides myself, that what I'd done wasn't good, then I have a chance to do better. So when I left Paris Island, and I remember I was there in Okinawa for a while, 2 or 3 months. I started going to a church there, Maranatha Missionary Church. It took me about a month, 2 months, give or take. And I remember, I still go to the clubs, the Air Force Officers Club. And I remember turning away from some of the sins I used to do before. Adultery is one of them. I turned away from that. 83, never again. Kind of sad to say it, but that was a major turning point in my life when I was able to turn away from ever doing it ever again. And haven't since. I still had things in my system I guess I had to get out, but that was one that went quick. Never to return back to that sin. It's disgusting. And the sin of lying. Of course, now I do things extreme anyway, so now you don't know the truth, don't ask. Because I will tell you the truth. But I can be a testimony to that, that he takes away certain things to let you know he's there. He's going to leave some things there. That way you call upon him when you need help. In the true way of salvation, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do Freemasons do? You get caught at something. You have a look at the hospitals. We help people. We give to the widows. We help the homeless. It's a good deed they hang on to. In John 3:16 to 3:18, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3. I'm going to play a hunch here right quick, if you don't mind. Oh. Well. I was right. Wasn't that a hoot? Not really. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In all the other Bibles, they removed the word begotten. I guess that's to make it easier to read, right? Don't tell me these Bibles, the other Bibles aren't corrupted. Unbelievable. They took out the word begotten in those Bibles. In John 3:15. For that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the other Bibles, they removed the words, should not perish, but that whosoever believeth in him have eternal life. They removed the words, should not perish. Why would they do that? This is major. John 3:18. They removed again the word begotten. John 3:16 and John 3:18. They removed the word begotten in all the other Bibles. NIV especially. Wow. Romans 10, 9 to 13. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made in salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That's clear. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, they're trying to hide that, aren't they? As hard as they can. So we see from all this we've talked about now, that salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Not by works, not by keeping the law, not by belonging to some church, religion, or organization, or some church leader. Not even Sung Young Moon. Was that Sung Young Mooney? I don't know. Nor any other way man devises. Only through and by faith. Faith is destroyed by fear. There's your connection. Only through and by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is what he did for us. Can you be saved? There's only one road. Only one way that leads to God. And that's Jesus Christ. All other roads, no matter where, all other roads lead straight to hell. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in there at... Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there be that find it. Robert Schuller, 33rd degree Freemason, and Billy Graham, beginning in the year 1990s, will disagree with that. It's part of the falling away. I bet you're a little surprised, aren't you, that I would say that? Well, I guess I shouldn't just say it and not give you some kind of evidence now, would it? Wouldn't be good now, would it? You need to know where the major players today are headed beginning in the 1990s. There's only one way to the Father. That's through Jesus. And we know that wide is the gate to destruction and narrow the way to salvation, if you will find it. So let's see what happens here. And you have to know only Jesus, not just the Christ. Christ is just Messiah. Could be anybody. But Jesus is the only way. Well, they're teaching different now. And this is over the board. Very sneaky. Billy Graham really believed that Christ shed his blood on the cross in vain. Billy Graham totally believes this, and Billy Graham wasted a whole life of preaching the true gospel. You wonder why they do this when they change and deny Jesus. When all their life before they were preaching that Jesus was the only way. The 1990s brought about a change. And a lot of them through the National Council of Churches. For example,
tell me, what do you think is the future of Christianity?
I think everybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for His name, whether they come from the Muslim world or the Buddhist world or the Christian world or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their heart that they need something that they don't have, and they turn to the only light that they have, and I think that they are saved and that they're going to be with us in heaven.
This is fantastic. And I'm so thrilled to hear you say that. There's a wideness in God's mercy.
There is. There definitely is.
You don't have to know the name of Jesus? What's that all about? There's a wideness? What's that all about? John MacArthur says you can take the mark of the beast. Otherwise, nobody would be saved. Has it ever heard that you have to deny it? You have to reject it? I got that also on recording. I'm not going to play it now, but I've played it so many times, probably some of y'all memorized it already. But that's shocking, isn't it? Especially when you hear Billy Graham back in the 1950s to 1980s say this. Coming up here in a minute. Completely opposite.
The Bible says there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other way except by the way of that cross. I want to tell you something. If there had been another way of salvation, Jesus would have never died on the cross. On the night that he was betrayed, the night before he died, he knelt in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. What was he praying? He was saying, oh God, if it is possible to save Billy Graham, if it is possible to save Bill and Jim and Susie and the human race, if it is possible any other way, if they can work their way to heaven, if they can buy their way to heaven, if there's any other way, oh God, spare me the cross tomorrow. But the answer, as it were, came back from heaven. There is no other way. Man cannot be saved by bread alone. Man cannot be saved by earning his way, by working his way. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is only one way that men can get to heaven. One road. Jesus said it was a narrow road. He said the gate was narrow. And it's the cross, and I must come to his cross. That's the reason that one-third of Matthew, one-third of Mark, that's the reason that one-half of John is given over to the death of Jesus Christ in Hayes' Life of Lincoln. There are 5,000 pages, and Lincoln was dramatically assassinated, but there are only 25 pages given to his death. Yet in the biographies of Jesus Christ, from a third to a half are given to his death. Why? Because it's the only way to heaven. It is the only way to get forgiveness of sin. And if you haven't come by faith to the foot of that cross renouncing your sins, I don't care who you are, what you are, you'll never be in heaven. You might be a member of some church. You might live a good, decent life. And all of that is fine. But your sins are not forgiven and you're not going to heaven unless you've come by the way of that cross. Have you come by the way of that cross yet?
What gives? You see, completely opposite. That's amazing. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And yet again, he says there's a wide, that you can come from any way in 1990s. So what's going on? they're allowed to bring people to salvation, to gain popularity, trust. Man, this is terrible. To gain people's trust over a generation that knew the only way in the 1949, 1950s, 1960s. So to be accepted, during those period of time, they had to preach the truth to be accepted. And then slowly, gradually, 1970s, 1980s, the New Age movement is coming around. Change of the culture, change of the children's education, more toward the New Age movement. By 1990, you got the children of the baby boomers being born with a new theology. Now, they start changing a little bit. The baby boomers are starting to die out, getting too old. The grandparents or parents of the baby boomers are already either dead or in the rest homes. This is how it's been done. By carefully laid plan that Satan has put into effect. Very, very clever. Very sneaky. But they will fail. So we see that all the salvation is only through Jesus. But they're preaching another gospel now. Only through them by faith in Lord Jesus Christ is what he did for us. Can you be saved? There's only one road and only one way that leads to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. All the roads lead to hell. As I said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. So don't put it off. Stay strong. You're going to be tested. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. For he said, I've heard thee in time accepted, in the day of salvation I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. People are holding off, holding off, holding off. Until I guess they're waiting to see him in the sky. Well, after all, the disciples who saw all his miracles denied him right up to the cross, even after the cross, until he came back from the dead. And Thomas, a stubborn person that he was, boy. Didn't believe anybody even then. They all said, hey, we saw him. Really? Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I won't believe it until I see the holes in his hand and his feet. Well, Thomas, and be careful what you wish for. So when Thomas fell to his knees and said, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said, you believe, Thomas, because you've seen. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. That's why I put a doubt in my mind about those who say, Jesus came to my house the other day. Jesus sat with me in my car. He came to me in my car. Jesus came to me to show me another way. I had a dream and I got taken up. I died on the bed and I saw Jesus. Jesus came to me here and there. Which Jesus was it? Is that Jesus you saw supernaturally or voice in the head goes against Scripture? It's not God of the Bible. And that's why they fear the Bible. That's written by man. Because they're going to put thoughts, words in the heads of people using voice-to-skull technology. Using voice-to-skull technology. That voice in the head is being prepared for people. Because that voice in the head they're going to have by technology overrides the Bible. You got a problem. That's why the Bible reflects everything God's going to tell us as truth. John 1:1, John 1:14, and 1 John 5:7. People say you worship the Bible and not God, not Jesus, but you worship the Bible. You're an idolater. That's putting the guilt on you, see. That's another trick they have up their sleeve. You're into idolatry. The Bible is an adulterous or idolatry. Because you worship the Bible, not your Jesus. Because they fear that Bible. Primarily. Because it contains the Word of God that they can't override. That's why. But those scriptures I gave you shows you they're one and the same. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as if of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now you see why they removed the word begotten in John 3, don't you? And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Those three are very important verses. Put together. I tell you another reason why the word begotten is so important. Because the sons of God of the Old Testament were created. Fallen angels. The sons of God of the Old Testament were created beings. They were fallen angels. Sons of God. So the sons of God of the New Testament are those who accepted Jesus Christ. Two entirely different references. Entirely different. So the sons of God created are the fallen angels. But the only begotten Son of the Father through Mary came in the usual way. In other words, Adam was created. The fallen angels were created when they took physical form. They just morphed into a physical form. Adam, created being. Fallen angels, created beings, didn't have belly buttons. Because there's no reason for a fallen angel or Adam to have a belly button. They didn't come in with an embryo, with an umbilical cord. How about that? But Jesus did, because He came through Mary. They had to cut His umbilical cord. Mary had a son. Had to clean his britches. Had to feed him. I bet you Jesus skinned his knee a couple times too. Begotten of the Father. Whole different ball game. Whole different ball game. Big difference. So they removed the word begotten out of the other Bibles. John 3. In that chapter. Family, that's a very important point. It really is. They're finding every which way. I mean, man, they're grasping straws, strings, and fiddles. Man, everything they can to try to discredit that Bible in any way possible. Because it keeps them on the straight and narrow. Satan tried to deter people from reading the Bible by making it hard to read, by clouding the mind, by making us find other things to do, making us lazy so we don't read it, to keep us away from that Bible, because it's got power behind it, because there's power in the Word of God. And Satan don't want you reading it. Don't you want to mess with it, because it gives you power, because there's power in the Word. Family, we're there. I thank you all for coming by. Reminds you certainly about John Kirkler, and we thank you for those that's been helping him, because apparently you have. He sent me an email not long ago and said things are going great, and thanked us for bringing his word up because it's helped him keep his network up and running. I don't know how exactly, but apparently it has. What I mean is, I don't know how many people's helped him or to what extent, but apparently people have been. And I'll say thank you to whoever has, and I appreciate it. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And I promised him that if he played my broadcast and Bible studies, I'd mention publicly his network. I would anyway, probably, because he's a good person and he likes the Bible studies, so. You know, I don't get anything from it, don't care. Except that he plays my broadcast and my Bible studies and another network. And that for that, I appreciate it. But for him, it's his dream to run a station, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania. Sponsors up there, that quite a few of them, help him with it. And apparently it's really doing well. So I'll say again, thank you very much. Also let you know that I have a website, watchmanforjesus.com, and a Facebook, Watchman for Jesus. That's that simple. So family, y'all have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday, 4 o'clock, and hit the ground running. And we'll cover more of the news and what's really behind the news. I don't know about this Christmas. I mean, there are more rumors of things happening, financial reset, meteorite, who knows what, you know. So now tonight you know, fear, 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 whatever it is. Now, one of these things are going to hit. When they do, you got a head start. Of where to look for help. When they clean out those supermarkets, when the water shuts off, internet shuts down, ATMs close. See, God, not only individually, will He bring people individually to their knees, but He'll bring a culture to a knees. Well, ask Israelites, they'll tell you. Stone by stone, it was dismantled. Got their attention, I bet. Don't think America is no different. Time is coming. Y'all have a good night. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's where your investment lies. For eternity. So we're going to end tonight and then with prayer, and then we're going to move on for the weekend. Lord, thank you tonight for this Bible study. Lord, to put in our hearts the truth about the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will be strong in the faith and strong in our belief that we are saved through His blood, through His shed blood. The Lord, you give us that words to speak, opportunities we have that you would have given us to speak the true word to us. We know that our faith will be tested. Our charity will be tested. Guide us through these tests, Lord. Speak loud your voice so it can be heard. And sometimes the noise is loud too. We open up our hearts and our minds. They will do the right thing. And bring the Holy Spirit down to touch us all. These things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, y'all have a good night. And a great weekend. And we'll see you all Monday, hopefully, at 4. Hit the ground running. So, good night. God bless. This is your watchman. Signing off.
And every fear I'd ever had, just mounted.
Good timing, huh?
I am with you every day to the end.